Blog Talk Radio.
Who will save us now?
She might click on the
nation. The nation's rage.
Check them.
Voices crying now. Some of them for freedom. Some of them for healing, for someone to lead them. This world hangs by a thread, on the edge of time. What we have come to dread, unraveling life like a string on a knife, heading for
about the hands of Jesus. Welcome to the Healing Light Show, everybody. This is Reverend Stan. We're going to have a different Wednesday night service this week. It's going to be an interview with Eric Wilding. How you doing, Eric?
I am so blessed, brother. Thank you for having me.
It's awesome to hear from you. You know, it's awesome to have anybody from the royal family there to call in, because I really respect Pete's organization. I respect everybody in the organization. They're all good people. You're a great person yourself, and I know we're going to hear some good stories about some things that the Lord has been doing through you. How's it going, Robert?
It's going fine, Stan. I'm so glad to be on here with you guys. I'm ready to hear the word of the Lord. I'm ready to see what the Holy Spirit is saying for us to do tonight to be a blessing to others. Amen?
Amen. 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 Tonight's going to be a little different. We normally have a service. It's going to be more of an interview. Tonight was a little bit easier for Eric to come on, and sometimes Wednesdays are a little bit easier for people. But, Eric, we're going to get right into your interview. Eric, when did the Lord start calling you into ministry?
Well, my father was a pastor, and he and my mother, and before I was born, they had, you know, dedicated me to the Lord. So I know the stories that they had told me that my life was his from an early age. There was that calling, and God really led me through some amazing things. Really, the church that we were part of was a cult, a sect, a very legalistic sect, and he brought us into mainstream Christianity, evangelical Christianity, and he led me through. He healed me of some severe learning disabilities, and gave me the grace to learn, and went on to study lots of academic institutions and study theology there, getting a doctorate in theology. But the great irony and joy of all of that was when the Holy Ghost really led me into a deep and personal relationship with him, because previous to that I only really knew him as a doctrine rather than as a person. And when I got to know him as a person, that really changed everything. It led me into a deeper relationship with Jesus as my Lord, as my friend, as my bridegroom, and led me into a deeper relationship with Papa God, with Daddy, and really experiencing the amazing wonders that the Father has to share with his children in Christ, just seeing the miraculous become a daily routine. You know, just yesterday, out ministering in public places and just seeing people get healed and touched and feel the presence of the Holy Ghost. And, I wouldn't change it for anything. It's been a wild journey.
Awesome,
and
man. Yeah, that's God awesome,
is,
man.
I believe he's only just begun. And my great joy in ministry is my ministry, my calling is really love, the ministry of love. And love is a supernatural thing. And it's expressed in miraculous ways, and I just love teaching people about sharing with people about who their God is and who they are in Christ, and seeing what happens through them, miracles, signs, and wonders happening in their lives. That's great joy.
That's awesome, Eric. When did the Lord really start using you in the power of God? When did he really start using you to really go out and reveal, you know, the Lord to people?
Well, about, let's see, almost 9 years ago now, my daughter was born, and in the birthing process she contracted bacterial meningitis. And the doctors basically, when we took her into the hospital, gave us that look, know, there's nothing much we can do, and they told us if she does live, she'll have severe disabilities, but we have another doctor who has a higher opinion, and he healed
her. Amen.
Today she is a perfectly normal 9-year-old, almost 9, she'll be 9 in a few weeks, bright, brilliant, happy, full of the Spirit, speaking in tongues, healing people, just a great joy. So that really, her being healed and my wife was healed at the same time of some complications due to childbirth, purple fever and things. So that really lit a fire in me to say, let's go, Holy Spirit, I don't really know you. I want to know you more. Let's see what's possible, because, you know, my dad's ministry as a pastor, we knew of miracles and things happening, but they weren't commonplace. But when this happened with my daughter, from there it just, I really wanted to know what was possible, because I had seen,
Amen.
You know, the work of the Lord manifest in her life, and I wanted others to experience that as well.
Amen.
So from there, the Holy Spirit, he's a great matchmaker, mm-hmm. and he hooks people up, and he is just constantly putting people, me in their way, and them in my way, and just getting to know brothers and sisters, and see what's possible. I think, you know, this is what family is about. You know, our ministry team is called Royal Family International. We take that very, very joyously, seriously, with a great joy and great seriousness.
Explain the whole Royal Family a little bit to people. They don't understand what that
sure.
is.
Sure. Royal Family International is a group of believers, or, you know, evangelists, prophets, whatever you want to call us, just, you know, sons and daughters of God, really. And we're just excited about showing and teaching our brothers and sisters in Christ what is possible in Christ to manifest the love of God. And Pete Cabrera Jr., he's the overseer, we call him, he's one of our brothers among many brothers and sisters. You know, we have a core team, which people made up from different places in the United States. Pete's in Kansas. Rafael Garcia, he's in Miami. Sue Beach is in Minnesota. And we've got others in various places around the United States. Simon Wilson and Amos Webskowski. And then we've got people in Germany. And Jose Coelho is in Brazil. So, and I don't want to leave anyone out, but they know who they are, and we love them. But, you know, I'm in Canada, and each of us, we have a calling on our lives to really show people that they're royalty, that they're kings and queens in the kingdom, that they're co-heirs with Christ, and to show them how royal life manifests itself in signs and wonders, in expressing the love of the Father into people's lives, and then really showing them who they are as well. You know, whether they're believers or non-believers, you know, we want to show them that they're beloved of their Father, and really see him for who he truly is, rather than the lies that have, you know, been spread about him. So when they experience that in public places, if they're believers walking with us, then they get excited and revved up. You know, I was just talking with a fellow today who had been to one of our seminars, and, you know, he's so excited and on fire, and we just see people's lives completely transformed and the miraculous happening, on a daily basis, just crazy miracles happening in their lives. And then, you know, touching other people's lives as well, in the streets, in the malls, in the schools. You know, I work at a community college. I teach at a community college, a secular community college, as an English professor. And in each one of my classes, miracles break out. You know, people get healed. They get touched. You know, they feel the presence of God. Buddhists, Muslims, Hindus, atheists. You know, we see atheists. doing the healing in Jesus' name, which really messes them up. So, you know,
wow.
It leads to great discussion. You know, so all of us are in different, you know, some of us are working, full-time jobs, and others are, just devoted to completely to ministry. But whatever we're doing is ministry, so there's no separation between secular and sacred life. Everything in the kingdom is sacred. So,
amen.
You know, we believe, you know, just in encouraging, you know, we see ourselves as encouragers, not as necessarily as role models, but as encouragers to say, you know, you can do this too, and this is your inheritance. You know, the same Jesus, the same Christ lives inside you as inside of us, so, you know, go and do likewise. So we really, you know, believe strongly in teaching and equipping, and we don't, you know, just have people come into meetings just to sit there. We activate people, you know. I was just at a church in Oregon just over a week ago on Sunday, and I just had all the kids come up just as I started speaking, you know, it just felt Holy Spirit tell me, okay, don't worry about the message, just have the kids come up. And so there was a small group of children there, probably between the ages of about 5 and 8 or 9, and they just prayed for people, and people were getting healed one after the other, you know, and, and it was just beautiful to see, and that really messes up the older folks.
Yeah.
You know,
wow.
The beauty of you know, children, you know, because healing is the children's bread, so they're just distributing that love to people. And, yeah, that's kind of, you know, where we are as Royal Family International, and we're traveling a lot these days in various countries, and, you know, really just letting Jesus shine.
Amen.
That's awesome, man.
That's awesome.
It's awesome to see, you know, there's a group of people that's really wanting to push the power of God and seeing people, you know, move in it, where they can take it to their own hometown and reveal, you know, the power of God to them and activate them, or just, you know, activate what they already have to start working in this and start healing people and showing people the power of God. Because, you know, these days, you know, we know a lot of churches are dead. The power of God's basically out of the church. Everybody's, you know, having tea parties and getting a message, and they're going to eat Sunday dinner, and that's it. And yeah, they don't really get much out of it. You know, it's you know, the God of the Bible is in the Bible, but not, you know, in the street. It's more like a story to them. But, you know, when you show the power of God, when the power of God is running through you and touching people, it makes the Bible real. It lets people know it's really true, and lets people that know that they're really real Christians. I mean, if they're saved and all that and baptized, they're really Christians, and that's the same Holy Spirit was living in them disciples back in them days is living in them too. And that could be activated, and they can do the exact same thing as Jesus and the disciples did. It's just they didn't know nothing about it. So it's awesome seeing that happen, Eric.
We're just excited, you know, about seeing, you know, what Jesus had promised. You know, in John 14, he says, you know, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. You know, it's about that relationship of the Father and the Son living in a relationship with one another and the Holy Spirit. Their lives are inside of one another, you know. And then he says, you know, but if you do not, believe me because of the works themselves, you know, the miracles, the signs, the wonders. And then he makes a prophecy. He says, you know, truly, truly, in his own language, he would say, amen, amen. He's a prophet. And, you know, they call it the prophetic language. And he says, amen, amen, I say to you. So, you know, he's a true prophet. He's not a false prophet. And he said, the one who believes in me will do the works that I do, and, in fact, will do greater works than these because I'm going to the Father. So it's Jesus' promise, you know, his word is his promise. He's the word. He can't go back on his word. So he's made this prophecy that as we believe in him, that is not we're just throwing our faith at him, but we actually, our life is hidden inside of him. And everything we do is in him and he in us, you know, where his life is inside of us and his life inside the Father. So we're united with them. And that his works will do, and we're seeing those, and we're believing that the greater works are going to happen more and more, you know, that we just see radical things happen, not because we're in competition with him, that's crazy, but because he wants that, you know, the Father wants to see his children playing, he wants to see them bringing other children in to see he's a God who is love, who wants his children to play, children to be whole, and that's manifested in these miracles, these amazing things which just open people's eyes. And so, you know, that's important scripture for us. And also, you know, Paul in 1 Corinthians, he talks about, you know, that the kingdom of God is not just a matter of talk, but is of power in the Holy Ghost. You know, so it's not just a matter of giving people a good message. And sometimes we don't even talk. You know, we have some messages. We had Simon Wilson up here in Toronto. He's from New Zealand originally, and we set up a meeting at a Chinese church here. And I got a word of knowledge right away. I just that I whispered to him, Simon, somebody, you know, has shoulder pain. And then all of a sudden, Simon says, okay, anyone with shoulder pain, come on up. And then seven people came up. And for the next over an hour, person after person, basically everyone getting healed, like 40 people, was crazy. And and then people calling in over Skype from China to get healed. And he hadn't even given his message. You know, the message just ended up being shut down because the Holy Spirit just wanted to show people this is what's possible. And, you know, he wanted to heal people. So sometimes it just, it's better to say nothing, you know, and just let it do, you know. That's the best gospel in some cases. You know, Francis of Assisi, he said, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. The best witness of Christ is a life lived, and when we're living that life, people's eyes really open. They say, you know, I've never seen a Christian like you before, you know, or a group of people like this, you know. Wow, okay, so maybe this God is true. Maybe what the Bible says is true. So, you know, we just give all glory to the Father, Son, and Spirit, and just love engaging in communion and fellowship with them and then our brothers and sisters. Yeah.
Amen. If I might say something right there, when you was talking about John 14, verse 10, it makes it plain how the works that we're going to do the same works as Jesus. Because, see, Jesus did the things that he did based on what he saw the Father do. It was the Father within who did the works through him. And, you know, that's how we, too, are to do these works. We're called to be like Christ and step by step in his footsteps, demonstrating that we are sons of the living God. And that's the same way that he's going to work through us. We have to see ourselves one with the Father, like Jesus and the Father are one. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
That is everything. You know, it's about relationship. And people, you know, sometimes as we're traveling and or on Skype or on Facebook, people, you know, ask this question, how? You know, how do I do this? How do I heal people? How do I pray for the sick? And my response is the same. You're asking the wrong question. The wrong question is not how, it's who. You got that's what Jesus was leading us to, as you're saying, brother. That it's about who. It's about knowing that our Father, our Daddy, is absolutely good and wild about us and wants to do such amazing things to us. And in fact, more than we want him to, probably.
Come on.
But just,
that's right.
Just about being in relationship with him and our hearts being so one with him that they beat in unison and that there's never any separation between him and us.
Come on.
We're seated in Christ in the heavenly places. We're seated
amen.
On our Father's lap. And that's how we have to see ourselves. You know, a lot of religion in the past has said, you know, we're working our way up there. And a lot of the, you know, great saints in the past, they saw miracles and things, but they still started from the idea that we're separated and we're working our way to get up to God through our practices, through our rituals, through our fasting, through our prayer. But that's the wrong premise, I believe. The only starting place is that we're separated, we're seated in Christ in the heavenly places. That, you know, Hebrews 12 talks about, you know, that we have come to Mount Zion. We've come to the heavenly Jerusalem, you know, and to innumerable angels and festal gathering. And, you know, we're at that place in the assembly of the firstborn. Our spirits are seated there, and that's why everything is possible, because we're one with the Father who has judged us righteous in Christ. He is not holding our sins against us. He's made us not sinners, but he's made us saints. He's made us righteous. He's made us look exactly like Jesus.
Come on.
And he said that, you know, even as I am, so are you now in this world. You know, we are now like our Father. We
Yes.
Everything we do in this world is a reflection of and the image, being in the image and likeness of God. So it's about that deep relationship. It's not about how, but it's about who and where
Come
he
on.
Has placed us. So as we know, really, not in an intellectual sense, but in the sense of that relationship, the heart relationship, boom,
That's
everything.
Right.
Everything
That's
is
right
possible.
Here. That's great, Eric. Yeah. We'll be right back. We're going to play a song for a small break, and Eric will be right back. I'm going to talk about some of his experiences he had working in the fire. We'll be right back.
Been down, but all I know, something had to give, something had to give, 'cause living my life so wild and free, finally caught up, oh, it left me broken, left me
questions that he'd want to ask you. What type of question you want to ask Eric, Robert?
I was wondering if there was someone in our day and time that influenced you, Eric, to be so hungry for the things of the Lord.
When this, you know, really started happening in my life, I got the opportunity to meet Todd White. And I don't know whether you guys know Todd White.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He is sold out for Jesus. And
yeah.
I got to maybe I'll tell the story a little later about what happened on the way to meet Todd the first time. But
okay.
Just being able to hang out with Todd and to see how laid down his life is and
uh-huh.
sold out he is for Jesus, and being able to hang out with him on the streets and on one occasion and talk with him and just see
mm-hmm.
how genuine he is. He really, I look to him and see, you know, really what's possible. And I think for a lot of us in Royal Family, you know, we just greatly esteem Todd and his mentor, Dan Moeller,
uh-huh.
for, you know, the revelation God has given to them and what he's doing in and through their lives. So, you know, Todd's big. Heidi Baker, I really look to her as another one, you know, people who have given their lives completely to the love of God, you know, to
yes.
show the Father's love to people
mm-hmm.
that Heidi gave, and Roland, her husband, you know, gave everything up to love people in Mozambique and now around the world, you know, orphans, and
mm-hmm.
just what they see in and through their ministry is amazing, you know. And there's so many others as well, you know,
yes.
that you see them and thank the Lord for them, and they spur you on. Because you realize that Papa's, he's not a respecter of persons, and he wants
That's
all
right.
his children to play. He wants
mm-hmm.
them to look to their brothers and sisters and see, okay, this is what the family game, this is what the family business is like, and now you can come play too. That that just because, you know, Paul or John or Peter in the New Testament were manifesting certain things, we can't say that, oh, that was them and that was then, but that Papa's showing us that you guys can do that too.
Amen.
You know, you get to play, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
he wants us to continue to do the greater things and go
Amen.
From glory to glory. So when
yeah.
we see these people, we see what's possible, and I hang out with them. I mean, the guys in Royal Family, they're each of them, I'm in awe of what God does through them. Jose Coelho, I spend quite a bit of time with him, you know, and he's from heaven. He says, I'm from heaven, but, you know, he's from the Brazilian part of heaven.
Yeah.
And, just hanging out with him, sometimes we call him Magneto, because just metal disappears around the guy. It disappears out of people's bodies, you know, so that really, you know, when I started to see that and hang out with him, okay, this is possible, let's do it. And then metal,
yeah.
you know, it just becomes a way of life. It's not about, this is my thing, it's about, no, you get it too. You know, everyone has the anointing, because the anointing is the Holy Ghost, and he lives inside of us.
Amen.
Flowing. Yeah.
Yes.
So it's
Amen.
All about, it's just about possibilities. It's about.
Yes. Amen. That is awesome. That is awesome, brother. Guess what? We were listening to Todd White at lunch today.
Oh, yeah. By the way, we've got Todd White and the power of love coming to Wilmington, North Carolina pretty soon, Eric. So we're all going to go down and hang out with Todd a little bit.
You will be blessed.
Amen.
That's pretty awesome. We're trying to get some groups to go out there and learn some street ministry and hear Todd preach and really get fed pretty good. And he's an awesome guy. He's one of my role models, too, that really brought me fully into the ministry of you know, working the power of God. And I've watched some of his videos, and he just lift me up, and I've been going ever since, too. But he's an awesome guy. He touched a lot of people, and he's what they call a real man of God. I mean, he lives and breathes it. You know, it's awesome. But
Amen.
Eric, I'd like to ask you some of the amazing things that you saw happen while you were in these conferences and some of these meetings you had, some of the amazing things, and some of the amazing things with the transportation thing and spirit, you know, things that's happened.
Okay. In our meetings, miracles are just the regular way of life. They just happen, you know, and I don't think we've really, I can't remember a meeting that we have where a miracle hasn't happened, but usually multiple miracles. Boy, this, you know, we've seen people with who've had strokes recover. We've had, you know, just at a conference a little while ago, prayed for two people, you know, and their deafness was completely healed. You know, we see, you know, people with diseases, cancer being healed. We've had, I think, at least in the past year, and we're hoping to see more and more of this, that three cases of, you know, through my ministry here, through Jesus working, three people healed of cancer. So, you know, just crazy things. Maybe, you know, a common thing that we see is, the easiest thing that we see is probably the leg growing, the short leg growing. But at some of our meetings and places, you know, where I'm ministering, we've seen legs grow. I prayed for one guy at my community college who was from Sudan, from a Muslim background. He had been in an accident when he was 11 and in a coma for 6 months. And he had, because of the car accident, one leg didn't grow as long as the other. There was about between a 5 and 6 inch difference between the two legs. And sat the brother down, and you know, this is a Muslim, and the power of God running through my body and his body, we were shaking. I mean, we were shaking under the power, and he's watching as his leg is going zoop, zoop, and it's growing out to be even.
Yeah.
And then he's going, brother, place your hands here, place your hands there, you know, to pray for him. And meanwhile, I'm sharing the gospel with him, you know. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Son of the Father. God is your Father. Jesus has died for you. And the brother is going, yes, 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 you know. So,
amen. Amen.
That makes the mind do double takes, you know, and you just have to tell the mind to be quiet and just keep going forward. So, you know, we continue to see miracles, whether it be at meetings or just, you know, where we're walking with people. Yesterday I was out at a local mall here in Toronto with a brother, and we saw people getting healed there, you know, backs, arms, people's lives getting rocked, and, you know, a Buddhist lady got a word of knowledge, you know, that she had back pain, and she wanted to know how, a Chinese Buddhist lady, how is this possible, you know, that you know that? Did you see something in me? I said, no, it's Jesus Christ. He is God, and he revealed this, and he's healing you. And she got her back and shoulders healed, you know. And
amen.
So,
amen.
We're seeing all kinds of things and keep believing for, you know, everything to happen, and we want everything to happen, you know, all the time. Because we know it's the Father's will. You know, he desires that, you know, that all his children be saved. Sozo, they be whole in body, soul, and spirit as he is whole. So,
amen.
We do that now. I mean, we see unusual things as well. And, you know, we're talking a bit about transportation in the spirit. And this sometimes freaks people out, you know, when we start talking about these things, because they think it's some kind of New Agey type of thing. What we have to realize is that New Age and other religions are counterfeits. They take what is real and they counterfeit it. I mean, the enemy is the master of that. You know, he appears as an angel of light. But biblically, we have so many cases of, you know, people being either transported or translated in the spirit. You look in the Old Testament, you know, Elijah after he's defeated the prophets of Baal. You know, he runs before Ahab's horse and carriage, you know, and he's able to like run like Flash. Superhero. And Elisha, he's able to see into the king of Syria's bedroom that he's actually there watching the plans that are being made. And Ezekiel's being taken up and being lifted up by the hand of the Lord and being taken away. So you've got all these examples in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, Jesus, you know, he walks on water in John's gospel, gets into the boat, and immediately they're at the other side. You know, four miles out to sea when the storm happened. Jesus walks to them on the sea and then gets in the boat. Apparently the storm stops and they're at the other side. So that's another, you know, transportation. And then you have Philip in Acts. You know, he after he's baptized the Ethiopian eunuch, he goes all the way from Gaza to Azotus, you know, which is something like 32 miles. Immediately he's gone from one place to the other. So, you know, these things are possible, and what we have to realize in our spirit seat in the heavenly places, we're always at least bilocational. We're always at least bilocational, that we're always in our bodies and in heaven, or whatever that means, you know. We're always in Christ, and Christ, you know, one of the things that we know about our God is he's omnipresent, he's everywhere. So everywhere he goes, he takes us along. There's never a time where he takes us out of himself and says, you don't come along with me here, no further. I'm going by myself on this one. But we're always with him. So as we realize this, that we're seated in him and that we travel with him everywhere he is and everywhere he goes, we're with him, that's when we start to see the crazy stuff happen. Just to share maybe some things that I've seen and some of my friends have seen as well. You know, I've been in some cases where we've traveled, accelerated, been transported. While I was going down to see Todd White the first time, I was traveling with a brother, and we went 8 miles in 2 minutes. Okay. And we had the cruise control set at, you know, 65. So we saw one mile marker, you know, saying this many miles to Williamsport, PA, and then 2 minutes later we had gone basically 8 miles. It was we didn't know what to do with that. We thought, okay, maybe something, you know, is not they've made a mistake with the mile markers, but they don't do that. But we had just been talking just a few, you know, maybe about 10 minutes before that, about Philip being transported there. So I think that was, you know, Holy Ghost just saying good things are coming. And, you know, a lot of what I see in being either transported or translated. Now, just to make a difference between translation's in your spirit, where your spirit, you go to another place. Transportation is when your whole self, your body, soul, and spirit are in that other place. So you can go from one place to another. I haven't experienced the transport so much, but more of the translation where the Lord has just takes me somewhere, and it's mostly at his lead. You know, he's in lead. He's the Lord. So there have been times, you know, where I'm praying, and just as I'm praying and I'm in union with him, there was the first time that I remember it happening was praying with him in my living room at nighttime, and all of a sudden I found myself in a beach in Australia, and there was a man sitting down on the beach, and he'd come off of, he was a surfer, and he'd injured himself, and he was sitting there injured and was in a lot of pain and blood, and I was there just to lay hands on him, bless him, pray for him in Jesus' name, and he was healed. And that was a very quick experience. It was in Western Australia on a beach, and I came back, you know, a few seconds later, and it was like, wow, what happened there? You know, I had fully thought or experienced something like that before. But something I came to realize as the Lord was teaching me about this is that we're always in this, moving in the Spirit and traveling in the Spirit. Our dream life, our dream life is real life as well. That in our dream life, we're often ministering the gospel to people. So sometimes when people are flying or experience themselves preaching to crowds, sharing Jesus with people, they're doing the Lord's work in their sleep. The word of the Lord is active. It's living and active, and it's always moving forward. So
yeah.
People, I often experience in my dream life that is something happening in the Spirit. We've had, you know, so many amazing things happen. Maybe just I'll share one that really stretched us. When we were in Thailand a few years back, Royal Family, we had some meetings in Thailand. We were in Chiang Mai, which is in the north of Thailand. And we were out to dinner, and at dinner, some of the guys there with us were talking with some of the guys on the team. Rafael Garcia was talking a bit about, you know, transportation in the Spirit and that all things are possible in the Spirit. And talking with this group, and there were some Australians there listening to the message that Rafael was sharing just over dinner and talking. And then afterwards, they came back with us to the hotel. So they were talking with us that evening. Now, the next morning, they went to a market, an open market, these three Australian fellows, and a Thai man came over to them, and he was wearing a suit, a black suit with a tie, and this Thai man comes over and says, John, to the Australian man, and John, the Australian guy, says to the Thai man, do I know you? And the Thai man says, yes, last night we had a beer just over there. And John says, he wondered how that was possible, because John was with us the night before, and the whole time. And then John says to this Thai man, do you know Jesus? And the Thai man says, yes, I met him last night. And now, I'm going for another job interview, as if implying that he had told John all about the job interview last night. And John says, can I pray for you? He says, yes, please pray for me again. And they left. And John's head was just like, what is going on here? I've never met this guy. I wasn't with him last night. What's going on? So John came back to us and, you know, started sharing. And we got to share the good news about spirit travel, about being, or in this case it was him, bilocating, that he had been transported, not only transported, but was in two places at the same time, that he was with us physically and with this Thai man having a beer, you know. So if, I guess some people might be against drinking, but in this case it seemed to be okay. Having a beer with this guy and sharing Jesus. How is this possible? Well, you know, with the Lord, all things are possible.
Amen.
You know, that he's willing for those who want to cooperate with him, you know, and even sometimes if we're not even aware that he's working with us in multiple locations, you know, that sometimes I find myself as I'm praying just in places with people, you know, in China, one time in Algeria, just receiving an address, and I'm all of a sudden in the street in this city, Algiers, in Algeria, walking through the streets. I've never been to this place before, and I'm walking through the streets to go to an apartment, and the exact number knocking on the door opening, and there being a group of people there and just sharing the gospel with them.
Amen.
When I come back, it's like, what happened there? Was it, you know, because the mind wants to tell you that's not really real, you're just imagining these things. But you know, the Lord, he's at work, and we can just expect him to do, you know, phenomenal, crazy, crazy things. And, you know, church history is full of examples of this, of people who are bilocating, relocating, having, you know, heavenly journeys. I don't know if you know Kat Kerr, you know, she's getting all these amazing journeys to heaven on a regular basis. And, you know, I think that, you know, the Father's heart is just that the children really get a fuller vision of what heaven and what the kingdom of heaven is like, and so that the kingdom of heaven will be revealed on earth, you know, that it fully be revealed, that the glory, that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will fill the earth.
Yes, amen.
And
amen.
This generation, there's something very exciting happening in this generation that we want to just get the message out there, just to say, brothers, sisters, this is what's possible, and it can happen through you. You know, your mind might have doubts at times, and that's okay, but, you know, be open to the Holy Spirit, that he is going to do things through you which are going to shock you and are going to surprise you and are going to amaze you and astound you, and they're going to astound people around you. And people at times, they won't get it. You know, some people who I'm close to don't get what I'm going through. But the key thing is to be faithful to the Lord. And even when people are persecuting you, when they're standing against you and saying, you know, you're crazy, or you're not telling the truth, or you're making these things up, to say, no, that's not it at all. This is about love, and it's about revealing God's love to people. There's no self-gain. There's no self-interest. There's no selfishness in this. You know, there's no selfishness in love. There's no focus on the self. The only reason we may bring up these cases is to shine light and the glory on God, you know, to testify to what he's doing, so that, you know, without, I like saying, with, you know, without testimonies, there would be no New Testament. There would be no New Testament without testimony. And we can't hide the light, you know, for the sake of false humility, because all the light and all the glory has to go to him. But by speaking forward, you know, our testimonies, you know, it's like Peter and John said, we can't stop speaking about what we have seen and what we have heard. You know, the Pharisees might stop speaking, but we can't stop speaking about it, because we're so on fire, so full of the Holy Ghost, that he's just speaking in and through us at all times, and it's just flowing, it's gushing forward from us. We can't stop glorifying him and just living that love.
Amen.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I mean, let the Bible play out every day in your life, not just something you read, but let it play out every day in your life. And I really think, you know, the Lord really wanted us to do that. He wanted us to live as the disciples did. That's, you know, he told the disciples, go out and make more disciples. And, you know, keep on multiplying, keep on building the kingdom. And he didn't say, you know, just go to a church, build a great big old building, stand up and talk to a bunch of people and tell them about Jesus. He said, build the kingdom, open, you know, open the heavenlies in people, put the kingdom in the people. And open the kingdom up inside of them, and look what happens. All type of miracles happen, and people getting saved, getting healed, all type of, you know, awesome things happen in their lives every day. And I think every Christian should be walking like that. They should be seeing new miracles every day, and unique things happen every day. Because, you know, like you said, you know, our Father wants us to have fun. He wants us to enjoy, you know, being a son and daughter of God. He wants us to know that we are, and I'm about positive that, you know, these miracles lets us know who we are in Christ, lets us know who we are and know that our Father is, you know, the Lord of the universe. If we could do these things, you know, if our Father can create the whole universe, why can't we do just a few things, you know? We've got to be able to do a few things. We've got to be able to heal the sick. We've got to be able to transportation. Because look who our Father is. I mean, it's, you know, what else could it be, you know? But, you know, a lot of people say it really depends on how big your God is and how, you know, what you allow, you know, Christ to do through you. A lot of people, they put a borderline. Well, Jesus, you know, I'll go and talk to you on Sundays, and that's it. And I'm going to go and do what I want the rest of the week. And you just... You know, when you cut that communication, and once thing that I see is when you're in communication, you feel the love of God. You get to know who he really is. I mean, we know in the Bible, we read in the Bible what he is, but we get to experience it for ourselves. The Lord comes down and opens our heart and deals with us daily. And, you know, Eric, you know, working in the power daily, you feel the love of God. It ain't something you hear and talk about. You feel it. He brings it over you. You feel the joy. It's a love you can't imagine. It's there. You get to feel it. It ain't something you have to talk about. It's something you feel, and he shows you. And that's just part of having a relationship with him.
And it is just part of that relationship. And just, you know, you can put it in the terms of obedience, but, you know, we tend to think of the term of obedience as, you know, so, oh, something very heavy and we have to, but it's more of just the delight of the relationship. And then he just provides more and more as he just sees us walking in it. You know, yesterday as I'm walking through the mall with the brother of mine, he's from Eritrea, you know, near Ethiopia. We're just walking around and loving on people and telling them about Jesus and praying for them, people getting healed. And this guy who's walking in front of us drops his driver's license just in front of us. So I pick it up and run it to him, and I say, here you go, you dropped that. And he responded, thank you. I said, you know, I believe, you know, God provides these coincidences or occasions to say something, and I believe he's saying something right now. This, and I asked him his name. His name was Abdi. So he's probably a Muslim. And I said, you know, and God is watching out over you. He's watching out over you as you travel. He's watching out over you everywhere you go. He's put his angels round about you. He's watching you, and he's guarding you. He's protecting you because he loves you. And I'm just sharing this with him, and he's just standing there with his mouth open. And I'm feeling Holy Ghost just all over me. I'm just drunk on his love, you know, the love. And just feeling tingles all over my body as I'm sharing this. And the guy turns to me and says, wow, this is so interesting because I'm just about to leave in a few days on a trip. You know, so he's like, what is this all about? But it's just, you know, there's so many occasions that as we tune our ear and tune our senses to the Holy Spirit and being in cooperation with him, that he just reveals things about people, and really there's no separation, you know. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the things that we're doing are just bringing that love of God that's already united with them. It's poured out on them. Just to see what's possible, and to see really who they are, and they don't know who they really are, to bring darkness into the light.
Amen.
And it's it's all about, as you guys have been saying, love and that relationship.
Yes, amen.
Eric, is there any workshops that you're getting ready to do that you like to plug?
I'm doing a small one this weekend in Toronto. I was just teaching at a school in Oregon a few weeks back, you know, 70 students. But this weekend, you know, sometimes I just like to do things pretty small and really keep things intimate and walk with a few people. But, you know, if somebody would like to contact me and join in, you know, if they're in the Toronto or the Western New York area and want to join in, they're more than welcome to. And, you know, regularly I'm taking groups out in this city and in various places. If people want to invite me, you can always visit me on Facebook through this program. I'm a friend of it. And, you know, I go out and I like working with large groups, but especially with small groups. And when we can equip small groups, then each person in the group can equip other people to go and infect the body with love.
That's awesome, Eric.
Amen.
And thanks again, Eric, for coming on the show. And I'll say hello to all the other world family out there, Pete and everybody. I know they're probably listening tonight. And, you know, it's awesome always to have one of y'all on the show. And sorry, Robert, we didn't get to do a whole lot of preaching tonight. It's one of those, you know, when we get to have a guest in, and Robert got to sit in on a guest tonight. Here's actually his first show he got to sit in on a guest, or sit with a guest. And I normally have Jacob Phillips. He normally helps me do interviewing on Saturdays, but Robert helps me on Wednesdays. And this here is the first time he got to sit in with a big guest. And thanks for sitting in with me, Robert. And
it was my pleasure.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And, you know, next Wednesday we'll come back. Me and Robert will be back on here. We'll be praying for folks, and we'll be inviting them in to call in. And we're going to pray for them and stuff next Wednesday. And we'll also probably do it this Saturday, too. So tune in this Saturday at 10 a.m. on the Healing Light Show, and we'll be praying for whoever, you know, whoever calls in. We'll pray for you, whatever you need. But as always, check out the Healing Light Show on Facebook. It's the Healing Light Show on Facebook. And you can go to Blog Talk, look up the Healing Light Show. And once you like the page, just go ahead and put a testimony down. If you've ever had a healing from the show, you ever had a prayer that you heard from the show and the Lord's touched, you just put a testimony on there. And, you know, it really boosts the faith of other people. And as always, you know, just hang around. When you see the show come on, just hang around. And when you call in, we'll put you on air and we'll pray for you. And also on the Healing Light page, you can put your prayer on the page and we'll all pray for you. And then you can leave your testimony for whatever happens to you. But then again, you know, we've got the Power of Love that's actually coming to North Carolina in, I think it's November the 19th, I think. I've got some people from the Power of Love that's going to come on the show and talk more about it and, you know, let them go into details, let you know what's all about, you know, and tell you what, you know, the whole conference is going to be about. And then again, Eric, thanks again for coming on the show. And maybe we'll have you on again sometime, Eric.
Okay, it's been a great blessing. Thank you so much, both of you.
Yes, sir. Good to meet you.
Good to meet you, too.
Thank you, too, Eric. It's been a pleasure to hear all your stories, and they've been great and really touched a lot of people here tonight.
Praise God.
We'll go right into a song, and we'll see you Saturday at 10 a.m. God bless every one of y'all.
Everybody